Strayer. How you going? That's right, it's NBA Strayer. It's Tuesday, April 13, all day. And I'm your host, James Clements. I'm a writer sometimes, a Rolling Stone, Triple J, Junkie, Red Bull, mate. Jeez, I really just need to do more writing. I've done so little of it. I'm so lazy. You know, doing this every day. It's hard, man. Anyway, I write for whoever else wants to pay me that sweet, sweet booze money. I'm here in Larry Armour Studios giving you the lowdown on all the ins and outs of the NBA season while repping Strayer a little bit, mate. That's what we do here. We don't take things too seriously, apart from when it calls for it, like today. We usually leave all the serious basketball breaking downs to the nerds. But we did have another police shooting in the US because of its ruined social power structures and balance. So there was a game postponed, which is obviously just a shitty little nothing byproduct of a pretty fucking horrible situation. But otherwise, we had Steph Curry breaking Wilt Chamberlain records. The Jazz fell apart. Simo and Co. stifled Luka in Dallas. And the sad part of today's basketball news was Will the Thrill Magnay. Our very own Will the Thrill was cut by the Pelicans. God damn it! Just classic case of anti-Australian bias. Anyway, we're going to fang through everything in the NBA Australian game wraps as well as That's Not a Knife, Old Mate, No Mate, Spud of the Night, Better than Lonzo Ball, Pantsick of the Evening, Yeah Nas, Unpopular Opinion of the Day, and Outback Take, yes. We were serving up a flame grill take. There's also a sad injury to Jam and Jamal Murray. Ugh. Just a shit time. Anyway, Australian Player Watch, what do we got? The Shane Hill Shooter Shoot Shoot Your Shot Light 'em Up Award, because it is Tuesday. And a preview for all the games tomorrow. That'll be nice. Only six. That's good. So pick and preview for each of those. And we'll finish off with the Jingles HR, where he's got a letter from a Will in New Orleans. Aww. Right, episode 588 of NBA Australia. Let's go.
This is Matthew Dellavedova, and you're listening to NBA Australia.
Watch out for the Shaq attack!
You better. I don't know, you better watch out for the police attack if you're a fucking person of color or a minority in the USA. Every fucking time, man. Really? Really? We're just gonna keep doing this every fucking time. How about we just don't shoot people at routine fucking traffic stops? Oh, I was reaching for my taser. Yeah, fucking sure. Right, let's start today's show the way we start every show here at NBA Australia with a daily whip around. That's right. Dante Wright was a 20-year-old black man shot and killed by a cop in Minneapolis. It was ruled as a homicide. Nets and Wolves today was postponed as a result. The MLB, the NHL as well also postponed their games. I just fucking hate that this keeps on happening. And I also fucking hate that it automatically turns into like, well, what was he doing that caused the cop to do that? I don't know. But you probably shouldn't be shot for sitting in your fucking car. Traffic stop is not a fucking death sentence, you know? Like, you know how many times that's happened in Australia over the last 25 years? Fuck all. Yeah, anyway. Sucks. Hate it. Hate it heaps. And the fact that Nets Wolves got postponed is just like a little shitty byproduct, whatever. Anyway, hopefully his family and everything and, you know, they get some justice out of all this. And it's just a bit shitty and, goddamn, man. Got to see some change. It's like as soon as America, you know, fucking opens up a little bit from a goddamn pandemic, straight back into shooting folks. Anyway, the sad news of Will Magnay being cut as well was broken today by the bloody Pelicans. They just made the list. I was then asked, what's the list then, Jimmy? I'm like, well, it's a pretty long and comprehensive list, actually. You just made the list. I believe Anthony Viles was like, oi, Jimmy, who's on the rest of the list? Well, the Cavs this year, they cut Thon and they traded Dante Exum while he was hurt. You bastards. The Pels cut the Will the Thrill the Magnay. The Celtics are on the list because they backstabbed and traded bangers, didn't they? Oh, yeah, Aaron Baines. Yeah, that's fine. Take some less money and then we will not trade you because we love having you. You're traded. See ya. Shattered. The Nets, they're on the list because they didn't re-sign Creaky when they had the chance. And the Wolves had Creaky, had him in for training camp, and then let him walk. Creaky is also on the list because for being Creaky. And the Clippers are on the list because they cut Jingles, didn't they? Yeah, jerks. The Bulls, they traded Cam Airsto-Bairsto. Jerks. Hate that. And Washington, they're on the list because they never brought back the Grey Mamba, Andrew Gaze. Gaze! Absolute jerks. Portland, didn't have room for Patty Thrills, Patty Mills. Also cut Luke Schenter. Jerks everywhere. And Philly and Dallas, because they cut our man Rowdy Ryan Brockoff, friend of the program, recurring guest. And everybody else is on the list as well for not subsequently picking up Ryan Rowdy Brockoff. You bastards. All of yous. Right! Other news. What else we got? Oh, yeah. So Will got cut. That sucks. But Steph Curry, he passed Will Chamberlain on the all-time scoring list for the Warriors, which is pretty gnarly. He needed 19 points. And he had them in the first quarter, which is pretty awesome. Big win they had, obviously, over the Nuggets as well. But bang, career points for the Warriors. Will Chamberlain now by the wayside. Steph Curry scored that in the first 11 minutes of the game. Unreal. We'll talk about that again later. The players of the week were announced by the NBA. In the West, you had old Paul George. Old playoff P. Old pissy pants P. Oh, good on him. And obviously, in the East, Jason Tatum out there dropping 50s and going absolutely nuts. And then the big news as well out of today was Jam and Jamal Murray in that aforementioned game against Steph seemed to lift off and something just went a bit awry in his left knee and he couldn't get back up. Now, it looked horrible. There's no news on that at the moment from the Nuggets. They were trying to get him an MRI as quickly as possible, so hopefully that's going to happen. But I doubt there'll be any news until a little bit later. But that sucks, because look, the Nuggets, they'd sort of just gotten most of their dudes back and healthy. Jam and Jamal Murray was back. Aaron Gordon, after the trade, they're obviously on fire. And then they hit a massive speed hump when they lost to Boston yesterday. Crapped the bed pretty hardcore, and then we're crapping the bed pretty hardcore again against the Warriors today. But then the Jam and Jamal Murray news just really puts a massive downer on it. So anyway, right, let's do some game wraps.
Game wraps, game wraps, game wraps, game wraps, game wraps, game wraps, game wraps,
game wraps. Game wraps. WeAre.co bring you the NBA Australia game wraps each and every day. If you're part of a community sporting group or social club and you want the easiest way to run a raffle or a fundraiser, or you've got a project and you want to set a crowdfunding target, look no further than WeAre.co. They're an Aussie startup that we've partnered with to run our NBA Australia raffle, which is awesome. Great prizes, low ticket prices. Get on top of that. Go check it out on the Facey or Twitter. And away you go. Buy a few tickets. Get involved. How good's that? But if you're also part of your own sporting club, basketball club, footy club, netball club, whatever, pub cricket, boom. Give them a squiz. You can raise some money. Off you go. The best part is on the back end. You're laughing. There's no fees or anything. They're the best. I love them. OnyaWeAre.co. Check it out. Today's games, we end up with 8 of the 9, obviously, without Minnesota versus Brooklyn. And there's some absolute rippers in there. Lakers, they lost to the New York Knickerbockers of New York City, 111-96. The Knicks actually led this at the half, 55-52. It was pretty close. Kuzma was horrible in the first half. He was a minus 20 in 16 minutes in the first half, which is absolutely crazy. Just bonkers. The Knicks had 18 points off 13 turnovers early. And they just sort of kept the Lakers at arm's length the rest of the way. Even they couldn't hit a three, the old Knicks. But they got a really good defensive game from Nerlens Noel. RJ Barrett was missing everything, but Randall was awesome. Reggie Big Five Bullock did his job, and away they went. Markieff Morris came out firing for the Lakers. He was awesome. He had 14 in the first half, but sort of left after rolling his left ankle. Came back, couldn't do too much. Kuzma had 14 points. Andre Drummond, part of our big three. 3 points, 10 rebounds.
I just dominated the Nets, man. Oh, he's going to be awesome for the Lakers.
Then he played a team with an actual center, and away they went. It's like, oh, wait, so Nerlens Noel is not a 35-year-old LaMarcus Aldridge. Is that what you're trying to tell me? Says Andre Drummond. Oh, shit, now I'm bad again. German Rondo and Dennis Schroeder had 21-6. THT, he's dynamite. He was handy as well. He had a beauty of a reverse jam from Caruso. He had 10 points. But just nothing going for the Lakers. The Knicks, Julius Randle had 34-10 to go with 4 assists, handful of steals, well, a bunch of steals, 13-23 from the floor. Can you say revenge game for ya? Love that. Good on you, Julius, going off against his old team. 20 for Alfred Payton. Reggie Bullock hit the other three of the Knicks' total of 5, because Julius had 3 of them. Reggie hit 3 as well. Oh, yeah. Julius had 2. Reggie had 3. There we go. They had 5 total. D-Rose gave him 14 off the bench. Nils Noel, as mentioned, was really good. 9 rebounds, 2 assists, 4 steals, and 2 blocks. He was good. Lakers now dropped to 33 and 21. Really scuffing along now, sans LeBron. And this is great where people go, oh, Kuzma will be the perfect third banana for LeBron and AD because he's really just coming into it. Nope. Nope. He's been rubbish. 5 of 13 shooting today. He is brutal. Air ball to free throw. Ugh. 33 and 21 for the Lakers. New York City Knickerbockers of New York City at 28 and 27. Sitting very, very pretty for the playoffs. They're in 8th still. Nice one. Philly beat Dallas 113-95. Defensively, Philly were great across the last 3 quarters of this one. They really limited Luka and the rest of the Mavs. Just couldn't punish them without the extreme zinger meal. That's a tough one.
Extreme zinger meal.
Just watching Matty T and Simo prowl that perimeter and just stifle everything was pretty gnarly. Same with Danny Green, actually. But outside of Luka, the Mavs just couldn't get anything going, and Philly just rode Joel Embiid, who had a massive game, to a big win. Luka had 32 points, but he had 20 in the first half. They really limited his influence in the second half, and he was very, very frustrated and, not afraid to show it, which I kind of love. Good on him. Jalen Brunson had 15 points. He missed all 3 of his 3s. Hardaway, the lesser, went 3-9 for his 9 points. Richo, in his revenge game against the Sixers, he was a minus 14 and also 0 of 3 from 3 with 7 points and 4 fouls. Ugh. This is the problem. When Brunson's not hitting threes, Richo's not hitting threes. Game over. Sixers. Embiid was huge. Figuratively and literally. 36 points. 10 of 17 from the floor. He was absolutely amazing. In 26 minutes, he had 36 points. Absolutely towered them. We'll talk about him later. Tobias Harris, the never knew. 10-4-4 on 11 shots. Didn't really need him to fire because fucking Furkan Korkmaz dropped 20. Pretty good game for him. 4 of 7. Shake was really good as well. 18 minutes for Korkmaz. He had his 20. Seth Curry had 8. Danny Green had, a couple of 3s. That's exactly what they kind of needed just to spread around. Literally, as I say, for the Sixers, even for Dallas, they literally just need one of those role players to really get rolling, and they'll be in every game. And if they don't, like the Mavs today, they get smoked. And the Sixers had Korkmaz go, so off they went. Dallas now only 1 game up, I believe, on the Memphis Grizzlies. Well, 1 game up in the loss column, as it were. But they are 1.5 games up on them in the 7-8 spots in the West. Pretty crazy at 29 and 24. And the Sixers 37 and 17 sitting atop the Eastern Conference. San Antonio Banderas Spurs. They beat the Orlando Magic. Man, 120-97. They flat out killed him.
So he got straight killed.
There was a 15-zip run early, and that was just it. Seriously, it was like 60 to 37 at the half. I thought Orlando would show a little bit more fight. I was wrong. 5 of 20 from downtown for the Magic Man. Wendell Carter Jr. had 15, 8, and 4. Bacon was good. Chewy, yummy, tasty bacon. It was sizzling early. I'll see what I did there. But couldn't hit a 3 and fell off eventually. 14 points for him. Mo Bamba and his MVP run has come to a halt. He left with a left hip contusion after 3 minutes, which sucked. Tell you what, though. RJ Hampton, former New Zealand breaker. 16 points. He is turning it up of late, and I love it. 8 rebounds as well. For the Spurs, everybody scored. Danah had 19. DeJounte 17. 12 for Lonnie Walker. Derek White had 15. Everyone did everything. Rudy, Patty, it was all good. Orlando, look, they're now 17 and 37. Good tanking loss, really, to be honest. They're out there playing Cole Anthony. They're playing RJ Hampton. It's exactly what they should be doing. Patty Thrills only had to play 15 minutes in this. You love that. Like, Rudy Gay had 12 points and 6 rebounds in this, and that's exactly what you want. Everybody got some run. It was a blowout, so good job. The Spurs are back up to 26 and 26 and sitting, not exactly pretty, but they are sitting in 9th in the West. 1 game up on the Warriors and 2 games up on the Pelicans. Chicago got... Well, look, this was a really fun game until it wasn't for the Bulls. They end up losing 101-90 in Memphis to the Memphis Grizzlies. It'd be weird if they were in Memphis and they lost to, I don't know, Portland. 101-90. Tight. All the way. It was a bit of a brick fight, actually, for a lot of this. And then, pow, the Grizzlies, basically, in the fourth quarter, right at the end of the fourth. They were down 4 points going into the fourth quarter. It was pretty tight. It was still tied with less than 5 minutes left. And then the Grizzlies just put on a masterclass for the next 3 minutes. There was a Grayson Allen 3, a Jar bucket, a Jonas bucket, another Jar bucket. There was another, I think, Zeki Keggs, Adam Levine got to the line at some point in there as well. But Memphis, then slow-mo, Kyle Anderson hits a dagger 3, and there's only 2 minutes left, and they're up 10. I don't know what happened, but it was wild. Memphis are dangerous when that sort of shit happens. Ja had an amazing dunk where his head is above the rim. You're like, oh, Christ. That is awesome. Love Ja Morant. Good win for the Grizzlies. Because it really did feel like Chicago would somehow scuff this out away from home, but Memphis stuck in there and got the W. The Bulls, I mean, the big problem is they shot 5 of 31 from downtown. Yeah, that'll lose you a game pretty quickly when you're hitting 1/6 of all your threes. 17 turnovers, well, not handy. Vooch had 17, 10, and 5 steals. Not bad, Jimmy. He shot 7 of 19, however. Anytime that you can have 2 more shots than points you've scored, I don't think you've had a great game. Zachy Cakes, Adam Levine went 5 of 14 from the floor, 2 of 8 from downtown, 21 points, 9 assists. Good playmaking. Love to see it, but just not enough offensively from Zachy Cakes. Thad Buckets had 20. Danny Tice had 18 and 4. But it was the rest of the Bulls, right? Kobe, Lowry, and Troy Brown just were a mess. Kobe went 2 of 8. Lowry went 0 of 3. Troy Brown was 1 of 6. Yeah, when your role players don't show up, if you're Vooch and Levine and Thad are doing okay but not great, you're not going to win it. The Grizz, my name is Jonas Valanciunas, absolutely beat the shit out of his old mucker Vooch. Loves to do that. 26 and 14 with 3 blocks. He shot 12 of 15 and kicked the crap out of Vooch. That's a pretty good day out for Jonas Valanciunas. Ja Morant had 13 and 10. It came on 5 of 14 shots, but Jesus, that dunk was good. 17 and 7 for Dylan Brooks. He shot 6 of 19. Still not great. It's classic Dylan Brooks efficiency. Slow-mo had one of those classic slow-mo lines, right? 2 of 8. Ends up with 5 points. Hits the dagger right at the end. 5 rebounds, 6 assists, and 4 steals. Crazy stuff. And Grayson Allen continues his torrid run. 4 of 9 from downtown. 14 points. Good on him. Chicago now 22 and 31. But they are still in 10th in the East because the Raptors are a mess. They're 1.5 games ahead of those dudes. And the Memphis Grizzlies, as mentioned, are in 8th in the West. Love it. Sacramento! We're getting absolutely fucking shit pumped by the Pelicans, but they end up bringing it back right at the end. 117-110 this ends up. Nobody healed for Sacramento. The Pelicans jumped them, kicked the shit out. They're up 23 at the half, the Pelicans. The Kings fought back in the third, but it wasn't really quite enough. They never really had much of a look in. And then, you know, they have a bit of a run at the start of the fourth quarter. You look around, you're like, holy shit, it's only 9 points and there's like 8.5 minutes left. The Pelicans, though, kicked it in up a notch, went on a little bit of a run. Looked like they would set it all down. I believe it was Spindles had a nice little bucket there. Bledsoe, Stephen Adams had a great tip out to Spindles later that basically saved the game and put them back up 10. But the Kings got it back down to 4 with 18 seconds left. And De'Aaron Fox goes up for a 3. Could have been a 1-point game. Clank. Where's Reggie Owundu? Gets the board. Hits his free throws. Pelicans hold on. Win by 7. Missed opportunity by Sacramento. It's like it's almost like if they don't come to play and then get down and then lose games, that's how you are a bad team. Isn't that right, Sacramento? Kings, they missed 15 free throws as well. It's incredible. De'Aaron Fox was awesome, though. 43-6-6. We'll talk about him in a second. Harrison Barnes had 16-11. Tyrese Halliburton, 12 points and 6 assists, but just nothing else going on for the Kings. For the Pels, Zion, the Mack truck. 30 points, 6 rebounds, 4 assists. He is turning into the Zion we all sort of thought we were going to get when he came into the league as a rookie, and it's glorious. He absolutely poleaxes dudes, and it's awesome. Spindles had 34 and 17. Stephen Adams had like 16 rebounds. Bledsoe put on a Bled show, shot 3 of 11. He's back, baby. Kyra Lewis, he had 11 points, looked the goods as well. Sacramento, 22 and 32. They've lost 7 on the trot. Every single one of those 7, had they have won, their season would still be alive. They've lost all 7. New Orleans now 25 and 29. As mentioned, they are 2 games back of San Antonio in the 9th spot and 1 game back of the Warriors in the 10th spot. Go Pels. Utah provided the upset of the day by losing to Washington. in Utah, rather. 125-121, which is absolutely crazy. Insane game. Absolutely insane game. The Jazz were just D-U-N done. No Clarkson, no Conley. They were down 19. And you turn around, they were down 2 with 12 seconds left. All thanks to Donnie Mitchell. He had done fuck all for the middle 2 quarters. He was amazing in the first quarter. Then dropped 21 in the fourth quarter. Absolutely lit it up. And he just sort of crept back into it. It was like never one big thing where it's like, ah, here we go. We're just raining threes. It was just like, okay, now it's 11. Now it's 9. Now it's 11. Now it's 8. Now it's 6. Now it's 7. Now it's 4. The way they went. It was great. The Jazz, they just didn't have enough, though, without Clarkson and Conley. Donnie Mitchell has 42. Bojan has 33. Went 6 of 10 from downtown. He did take the last sort of three. They were down four. It's like, we're going to have to foul really quickly if Bojan hits us. And he missed it anyway. Game over. Tough one there. For Rudy Gobert, the stuff that they were. He had 12 and 12. Jingles at 18, 6 and 4. That's 6 assists, 4 rebounds. He was really good. His shot wasn't quite on, though. And that's the problem with the Jazz. Like, Jingles is pretty good, but when you don't have, like, the rest of those dudes, like Jordan, Jeremy Clarkson, and Conley, etc., and Royce O'Neal's not lighting it up, it's going to be tough for the other blokes. 14 points total off the bench from Oni and Faves and Yang, so tough one for the Jazz. The Wiz went 9 of 19 from downtown. That's not many threes attempted, but hey, when you hit 9 of them, you're laughing. Bill had 34 points. He was really good. Rusty, though. I'll tell you what, Russell Westbrook was massive in this one. 25, 14, and 14. Hits the dagger jumper. It's like, let him shoot his mid-ranger. Swish. And you're like, yeah. Maybe not. That was the game winner for Rusty. Daniel Gafford got managed to pull a stupid flagrant call against Royce O'Neal for blocking the shit out of him as Daniel Gafford tried to cock the ball back and make the highlight reel. And fucking Royce O'Neal got a flagrant. It was ridiculous. Gaffin ends up with 15. Robin Lopez had 10. Bertans and his stupid beard. The Latvian Ryan Anderson had 10. And the young guns were rubbish for the Wiz. Like Denny Avdija had 10 minutes with 4 fouls. Rui Hachimura went 2 of 7. Rui Hachimura fouled out. But Utah just couldn't quite do enough, right? 40 and 14. Washington now 20 and 33. Denver lost in Golden State. 116-107. Jamal Murray was back, and then he was gone. And it was very sad. But this was Steph Shows from the get-go. He had 21 in the first quarter. And that was almost that, right? Like, it was crazy. The Warriors fucking killed him in the third quarter.
He got straight killed.
I hung 43 points on Denver. It's like, we're a contender. It's like, well, show us some fucking defense and beat a team that are, like, not that good. Just saying. There was no life in them whatsoever in this game, at all for Denver. It was embarrassing. They were making a run, though, right at the end. Jamal Murray goes up. It's like a 7-point game. Not much time left, though. But look, he's trying to make a game of it. Just goes up. Something just goes a bit awry as he's leaping in his left knee on the drive. Comes down. Non-contact knee injury. It sucks. It just sucks. Everybody loves Jamal Murray. He's great. When he's on one, it's awesome. So that was shit. But on the flip side, Golden State had a bloke who went on one himself. Because Steph Curry, 53 in this game. And it was... 21 first quarter points. I believe he had 48 or 47 after three quarters. And they hold on. He gets his 50 piece. They were awesome. Joker had 27, 12, and 8. Michael Porter Jr., 24 points, 9 rebounds. He did go 1 of 7 from 3, and there was a big miss late that would have cut it even further, and he just clanked it really badly, and you're like, yeah, Michael, mate, what are you doing? Jamal Murray was 5 of 15, 1 of 5 from downtown. Yeah, so the big 3 for the Nugs combined to go 3 of 17 from downtown, so not great. 17, 4 and 4 before he went out. It's also the kind of game, though, this is why you've got Aaron Gordon if you're the Nuggets, right? It's like, it's good to have him fill in some gaps. It'd also be nice, Aaron, if you stepped up when all of our guys can't hit a shot and actually gave us a little something more than 9 points and 6 rebounds and 3 assists. Like, it was good that he was out there doing his Jeremy Grant impression, but he's also ostensibly better than Jeremy Grant. Give us a little bit more there, Aaron. What are you doing? Because there was nothing going on elsewhere for the Nugs. Jamichael Green had 0 points in 15 minutes. Monty had 10 points. PJ Dozier only played 8 minutes. Will the Thrill Barton wasn't rolling. It was all brutal. For the Warriors, meanwhile, Steph had 53. Like, come on. Draymond, he had 18, 7, and 7. It's an amazing game. And I'll tell you what, Steph having 53 and Draymond having an 18, 7, and 7 game is no fucking coincidence. This is years and years and years of this happening. When Draymond's good, guess what? It makes everybody else's life a shit ton easier. When Draymond sucks, guess what? They're scuffling for like 9th and 10th spots in the West. So good on Draymond to rock up and help Steph out here. This was really fun. We go at 17. Baze goes at 14, but this was the Steph show. 14 of 24 from the floor. 10 of 18 from downtown. He was amazing. Passes Will Chamberlain after 11 minutes of the game. Unbelievable. Denver now dropped to 34 and 20. Golden State 26 and 28. In the last game of the day, Phoenix beat the shit out of Houston. 126-120. Phoenix equaled the record of 18 made threes in the first half. Went 18 to 24. Unbelievable. They ended up 25 of 45. But they flat out just killed the Rockets. There was a little bit of a run in there at the end from the Rocks. But they were well out of it. Suns just hold on. Kick the shit out of them. Christian Wood had 25 and 15. John Wally Wall had 13 points. Came on 5 of 20 shooting. Thanks for coming, John. 22, 14 and 5 for Kevin Porter Jr. He is lighting it up, BT Dubs. Love me some Kevin Porter Jr. For the Suns, Devin Booker had 24, 7 and 7. Jay Crowder hit 8 threes and had 26 points. He was great. 18 and 12 with 3 steals for DeAndre Ayton. Javion Carter, Campaign, Cam Johnson, they all hit 3 threes. And the homie, Darius Saric, hit a couple as well. And it was on. Off go the Suns. Looking good, looking great. Houston at 14 and 40. Phoenix, 38 and 15. And let's do an NBA Australia approved performance of the night.
That's not a knife. That's a knife.
Ah, that's a knife, Joel Embiid. Look, he just toyed with Dallas in this one. This was huge. 36 points, goes 14 and 15 from the free throw line. He was absolutely mega. Mega, 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 mega. And because this is such a big game, it's against Dallas. Drops 36 points in 26 minutes, goes 10 of 17 from the floor, nails 2 threes out of his 3 attempts, 7 rebounds as well. The world of hurt that he put the Mavs into was absolutely crazy. They played 4 centers against him in the first half. Those centers combined for 2 points and 9 fouls. Joel Embiid had 23 points and 13 free throws at the half. That was absolutely crazy. But of course, he can't go out of the NBA Australia approved performance of the night without saying Steph. That's his, look, in terms of 50-point performances against a team that's as good as the Nuggets, this is pretty gnarly. 53 points. He's gone 14 of 24 from the floor, 10 of 18 from downtown, 15 of 16 from the free throw line, 4 assists, 5 turnovers. Didn't matter. It was absolutely magical. Wasn't it? Because that's the best part about when Steph's on one. It's just on. And you're like, yes, basketball is awesome fun. Look at him just pull up, go crazy, kick some ass, take some names, do a dance with his stupid little puby beard. And it's just great fun. It was gnarly. The thing is, you get to spend all game yelling about the comparison between him and Wilt Chamberlain as well, which just made it even more fun. It's like, oh, well, you see, Wilt was playing back when they didn't have 3-point lines. It's like, no shit, Sherlock. And all little Steph does is shoot a lot of threes, doesn't he? He's like, wow, that's not all he does, but it's a big part. Anyway, that was awesome. Ninth game where he's had 50 plus and had 10 threes or something, which is just fucking crazy. So good stuff, Steph, Joel. In a normal season without injuries, without time missed, you'd think that, look, two of the best players in the NBA right now. And two very different games, but love it. Steph and Embiid on the same day. NBA Australia approved performances of the night. What about Spud of the night, though, Jimmy?
Spud, 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 it is Spud of the night.
Spud of the night. The Bulls, as mentioned, 5 of 14 for Zachy Cakes, Adam Levine. Sato goes 1 of 5. Kobe has his 2 of 8. Lowry's 0 of 3. Troy Brown goes, wow, 1 of 6. Brutal scenes if you're a Chicago fan. JJ the Wuss Reddick. Bloke hasn't played for 6 weeks or whatever. 1 of 7. Have a bit of a sook there, JJ. 4 points. Montrezl Harrell went 0 of 4 in 15 minutes. 0 points, 2 rebounds, 1 assist, 1 turnover. Thanks for coming, Montrezl. And RJ Barrett started off the game for the Knicks against the Lakers. 0 of 8. Oh, Jesus. He was on one. Trying to pull a John Starks. Went 2 of 11 in the end. 0 of 4 from downtown. Lots of spuds there. Pretty good stuff, too. But, hey, look. That Bulls performance was really just something shocking, I'll tell you what. Because you're sort of sitting there watching that game going, I don't know if anyone's going to hit a shot. Like, literally anybody at all. Anybody? Anybody? Hello? No, nobody. All right, cool. Pretty crazy. What about old mate, no mates?
Old mate, no mates.
Who's got no mates today? There was a great quote about Dwight and Nikola Jokic today. Dwight claimed that he was in Jokic's head because he was allowed to be so physical with him, because usually Jokic plays through it all, but that's the word on Nikola. Toe the line, you can get away with more than you can against most guys, because Nikola Jokic doesn't get any calls. So you push it, And some nights he may snap. Oh yeah, love to see that. That's definitely an old mate, no mate's joker. Not getting any love. Even though, look, he gets to the line a fair amount, but still, it should be more. Dude is getting punked. The thing is, so is Embiid. And it's one of those weird things, and it's been a thing with refs forever in the NBA. It's like, yes, big dudes are very large. We understand that. But when you foul them, are they not fouled? Like, a foul on a little guy, obviously, the extreme amount of force that you might have to use to foul a big dude, it might have to be like a rate more. And therefore, you should actually get more calls if you're a big dude because they're just throwing stuff at you all the time. It just doesn't look as bad because you're a fucking huge human, and that sucks. Tyrese Halliburton's also old mate, no mates. I love this quote about him today, from him today. On draft day, I thought I could go as high as number 2 to Golden State. The realistic spots I was thinking were Golden State at 2, Chicago at 4, maybe Atlanta at 6, Detroit at 7, San Antonio at 11, and Sacramento at 12. And that was without any trades happening. But I knew that the floor was Sacramento. Tyrese, you realize that you're like, hey guys, I'm pretty good and no one liked me and so I'm at my floor. Tyrese, what are you doing, mate? Don't admit that you're at your floor. Jesus. It's like, oh, I got to my safety school. I'm pretty happy with that. Christ almighty. Pantsing of the night, fatty fat, Matty T, Matisse Thybulle on Luke Doncic, just tracked him down like a cheetah on a great possession where he also blocked his little jumper in the lane. It was beautiful. Luke is like, I'm quicker than everybody and bigger and I can get past everybody. Matty T's like, nah, you can't. Just shadowed him the entire possession. And then Luka finally goes, oh, I've got a skerrick of space. I better shoot this. Matty T goes, get that shit out of here, you idiot. And Nico Mannion, one of the worst fast breaks you'll see. He's got the ball and then sort of forgets that he's got it and loses it out of bounds. It's pretty weird. Talk about brain farts. Not quite the Pascal Siakam like double dribble. This was kind of like the, hey, what? Oh, shit, I'm playing basketball. What are you doing, Nico? Mate, wake up. Too many cones before the game, mate. Oh, fuck, we're playing hoops. Just hanging out with Clay a bit too much. What do you reckon?
Lonzo was the best player in high school. He was the best player in college. You think you're going to get to the pros and be like, I made it to the pros. Now I can be average. We're coming for everybody.
Coming for everybody. As long as your littlest brother is wearing peach jumpsuits that make him look like a 70s mum. Better than Lonzo Ball today. How about Kevin Porter Jr.'s line for the Houston Rockets? He was absolutely awesome today. 22 points, 14 assists, 5 rebounds. Absolutely crushed it. But remember, Lonzo Ball's long-term nemesis, De'Aaron Fox, actually played against the Pelicans today, didn't he? And Lonzo not playing. So De'Aaron Fox could have just gone, well, the best two words in the English language, default, I win. But instead, he went off for 43 points, 6 rebounds, 6 assists. He shot 15 of 30 from the floor, 5 of 13 from downtown, 8 of 15 from the free throw line, 4 turnovers. But he was awesome. Unfortunately for De'Aaron Fox, he was the only person on that Kings team who was awesome. The rest of them fucking stink. Even you, Tyrese Halliburton. Well, I'm at my floor, bro. What do you expect? But De'Aaron Fox, mark that up as another win against Lonzo. Right, let's do some yenas right after this.
This is Cam Glidden.
This is Anthony Drimmick.
This is Mitch McCarron.
This is Jason Kadee.
This is Daryl McDonald.
Hey guys, this is Hugh Greenwood.
Yo, what's going on? This is Ellie.
This is Mark Worthington, or commonly known as Wurtho, and you're listening to NBA Australia.
You're listening to NBA Australia.
And you're listening to NBA Australia.
And you're listening to NBA Australia.
You're listening to NBA Australia.
You're listening to NBA Australia.
And you're listening to NBA Australia.
You're listening to NBA Australia.
All right, let's do some yenas, and they are brought to you by thedailyliquor.com from East Ninth Brewing. Remember, you're in Melbourne, if you're over 18, of course. In the Metro Melbourne area, mate. Nothing better than going to thedailyliquor.com, stocking up on a bunch of booze, getting a great price, and them dropping it off at your door for free. And then getting a free six-pack of the old DOS XPA, the DOS Blockos XPA. Thanks to you, mate, Jimmy, if you bang in the code STRAYA at thedailyliquor.com. How good is that? Free beers! You're watching the footy, you're hanging out, you've got a bit of holidays coming up, who knows what's going on? You're having some fun, chilling out. Boom. Free beers on Jimmy. The best part is there's wine, there's cocktails, there's a whole bunch of massive selection of beers and wines and cocktails at thedailyliquor.com. Go check it out. Bang in the code STRAYA, get a free six-pack on me, and away you go. Right, some yeah nahs. This is where we take a bunch of NBA storylines and decide whether more yeah or more nah. Number one, Matty Koss. Jimmy, MVP wide open now. Yeah, nah. Yeah, it is. It's wide open because, look, everyone's like, well, Joker's the obvious favorite. We've all been ignoring him all year. Yeah, that's right, because no one actually feels comfortable giving it to Joker. Because it does make no damn sense, because the dude is absolutely crushing it. He's having a great year. He's a great player. We all understand that. Unfortunately, nobody really seems to want to give it to him. He's averaging just a lazy 26, 11, and 9. It's incredible. It's absolutely fucking incredible. But the thing is, they go on the massive tear after the Aaron Gordon trade. Now Jam and Jamal Murray gets hurt. And they've had these two games where they shit the bed in just epic fashion against Boston, give up a 31-3 run, get outscored 40-8 down the stretch. 40-8. Unbelievable. They lose that game. Up 17. And then today against the Warriors, just an absolute no-show against a team that basically needs 53 points from Steph Curry to win. And have Draymond Green have an out-of-body experience and actually drop an 18-7-7 for the first time all year. And you got to go, well, okay, well, what is Joker's case? Well, I'm leading a pretty good team in the West, which is very hard. All right, so you're the best player on the four seed. Fucking radical. Joker, oh, but my numbers are really good. Yeah, you've had Jam and Jamal Murray in and out of the fucking team all year. Michael Porter Jr.'s been running around dodging needles. Jesus, you've got Aaron Gordon now, you look unstoppable. You've got a pretty good point differential, but it's not like blowing anybody away. So, all right, let's all just chill out. So, the thing is, and per Koss's question, it could not be more wide open right now, right? Like, you look at it, you've got Joker, you've probably got Dame right up there as well. And obviously, what I'm about to get into in the next question, Embiid, Giannis, Steph, Luka, Kawhi. It's still wide open. Basically, CP3, I mentioned this, I think, on Friday's show. CP3 is right there as well as a dude who could, if he has a last, like, 1 month of really good basketball in the lead-up, he could win it. And he probably should, because the Suns are crushing it. And there was the great set of stats floating around the last week or so that every team that Chris Paul has gone to, their win percentages just fucking skyrocketed dramatically. And a lot of it's very clearly to do just with him. And the same thing has happened with Phoenix this year. They're 38-15. They're only 1.5 games back at the Jazz anyway. And look, if he turns one on for the next month, he could win it. The thing is, it is wide open. I feel really bad that, I've got money in LeBron. He was going to win it. Stupid high ankle sprain. No dice. The thing is, does this give us more ammunition next time we talk about LeBron versus MVPs and how he basically, this is half an MVP because look how bad the Lakers are without him. Yeah, nah, fuck yes. And I hate this because you know that it's going to pop up on some dummy's fucking podcast in the next couple of years. In 2021, that was basically LeBron's MVP anyway. Look how bad the Lakers were without him. So they also didn't have Anthony Davis. Like, just saying. But yeah, he would have won this year, I reckon. No problems. But the thing is, can MVP be won by Joel Embiid even if he's missed like a quarter of the season in the end? Yeah, nah. Yeah. He can. It's a 72-game season anyway, so all bets are off. Like, you do a little bit of load management if you're anybody basically this season and you're going to miss a couple of games and like, you sit there and break down the percentage of the actual games you may have missed, and you're like, holy shit, that is a lot. So Embiid, look, a couple of weeks, he misses in the middle of the season. It's shitty. It sucks for everybody. Philly hold on, no problems. Embiid, though, every time he's played, it's like you can look around the league and go, who's the best player? And you go, well, it might actually just be Joel Embiid. So yes, he could very easily win the MVP, even if he does miss a quarter of the season's games. I think that's okay. Because you think about it, look, an 82-game season, you got to hit 61 at that point, basically. it would be a bit rich. But in a 72-game season where it's all just fucky anyway, and everybody's load managing and missing a chunk of games, you just happen to, like, get a bit of a tweak and miss a little bit with your knee. The fact that you came back and were so dominant, I'm like, we can't hold that against him. Yeah. So I think he could. I don't know if he will. But if he turns, again, this could go for literally everybody at this point, right? Dame, Embiid. Giannis could even flip the script. But the thing is, Giannis has been out for a little bit now as well with his knee. And so he should be. Steph, Luka, Kawhi, the Joker. If they have a rip snorter of the last month, off they go. They could win. Speaking of Luka, is Luka right? Is the play-in tournament a bit unfair? Yeah, nah. Settle down, you sook. Luka, he's like, oh, I don't understand the idea of the play-in. You play 72 games to get in the playoffs, then maybe you lose two in a row and you're out of the playoffs. I don't see the point in that. Well, you see, Luka, if you played an 82-game season, then went to the playoffs and lost three in a row, you'd also be out of the playoffs. There's no fucking difference. Also, the NBA is an entertainment product. Guess what? If you play a play-in tournament and it makes more money, when you sign your eventual fucking half a billion dollar deal extension, like, boom, you'd be sitting there going, ah, oh, pretty happy with that play-in tournament, filling our coffers and getting people watching the game. But also, I guarantee that you would feel different if you're in the 9 spot rather than the 7 spot, you know what I'm saying? Basically, all you're going to do is win once. Don't look at it like, oh, you lose two games in a row and you're out of the playoffs. That's a loser's mentality, Luka. It's like, well, all you have to do is win one game and you're guaranteed into the playoffs now. Simple. Anyway, bit sooky, didn't like it. Unpopular opinion of the day.
Now look at me, please. Look at me.
Is Steph passing Wilt just a bit over the top? It is, isn't it? They were kind of like, oh, he's passed Wilt Chamberlain. All-time scorer of Warriors history. It's pretty cool. It's very cool. Like, anytime you're passing Wilt Chamberlain anything is fucking bananas. But it's also not, you know, a bit of perspective. It took Steph 745 games. Wilt has set the old mark in 429. And he wasn't shooting threes, homie. Ah, oh, that's brutal. Like, it's very cool. I very much liked, you know, the old Warriors legends popping on the video and, like, congratulating him and stuff. That was really cool. And Draymond saying really nice stuff. And it was also, like, it sort of gave the moment, like, when Jamal Murray got hurt. And then after the game, it's sort of like everyone just, like, sort of focused on, like, shit, yeah, let's just hope that Jamal's okay. Also, Steph passed Wilt. That's pretty gnarly. But still, come on. 740 games versus 429. Bro. Just, you know, it's good. It's pretty cool. It's not the fucking world's greatest achievement in the history of the world. I mean, I would have done it in less than 700. Outback Takehouse. It's Tuesday at Outback, and you know what that means? Oh, yeah, we're jumping on seek.com.au to find some new kitchen stuff, because this bird has just ripped through my kitchen. There's bodies everywhere. But we finally caught him, put him in the pot, and tell you what, tastes bloody delicious. That's right, it's cassowary casserole. Only at Outback. Yep, no one knows what the fuck it is, but I'll tell you what, this bird is delicious. It's a man killer. That's why it tastes so good. Goes great as a flame grill take, and today's flame grill take is the man responsible for Jamal Murray's knee injury is Adam Silver. Cramming 72 games into 4.5 months is fucking negligent in the extreme, and he should be sued. Only at Outback. Well, I mean, that's why you've got insurance policies on your players. But by the same token, it does, like, this is the point where you're like, everyone has to be really fucking careful in the stretch run into the playoffs, because Denver were on a back-to-back. They get Jamal Murray back after a four-game absence. And yeah, it's the old Kevin Durant corollary, right? It's like, well, it's not because of this injury and the fact that he rushed back that it probably caused it, but it certainly didn't help, you know? You think if there was, like, a little bit more time in between some of these games, Jamal Murray might have taken a little bit more time. Just saying. It stinks, but ugh. People are going to be like, necessary evil. I don't know. Why? Why 72? We could have just figured this out a little bit smarter. Anyway, let's take a break and be back with Australian Player Watch right after this one.
Hi, this is Ryan Brockoff, and you're listening to NBA Australia.
All right, let's talk some knowable. What do Chris Paul, Scott Kelly, and Alexis Ohanian have in common? Well, they've all got incredible experiences as a NASA commander, NBA All-Star, and Reddit co-founder. And look, they've all created audio courses to teach you what they've learned in their lives. That's right, they're on Knowable, which is a new app where the world's top experts teach you new skills in bite-sized little audio courses. They're short like a podcast, expert-led like an audiobook, and awesome. 100% ad-free too. It's like Spotify for learning stuff, and I love it. The bloke from NASA, he teaches you about lessons he's learned in a career in space. Chris Paul talks about the plant-based lifestyle that he leads. And Reddit co-founder Alexis Ohanian teaches you how to launch a startup, which is really cool. Alexis Ohanian one's really good. And there's over 100 other experts waiting to teach you something new. So if you're keen on learning some new stuff today, download the Knowable app. Visit knowable.fyi. Download the app. Use the code STRAY. Get 20% off. It's sick. I love Knowable. So go check it out. Give them a shot. Get smart. Australian Player Watch today. Big Simo Ben Simmons in the win over the Mavs. He played 24 minutes. He had 8 points, 6 rebounds, 7 assists. His free throw struggles continue in 2 of 6 today. Not going great. 1 steal, 1 turnover, 3-6 from the floor. 23 minutes from Matty T. That's almost as many as Simo. You love to see that. Matisse Thybulle, erstwhile Aussie. 23 minutes, 7 points, 3-5 from the floor, 1-3 from downtown. And the green light just went off. It was awesome. 4 rebounds, 2 steals and a block. Jingles in that loss to Washington. He had 18 points after his 20-point game the other day. 6 assists, 4 rebounds, 1 block. As mentioned, though, his shot wasn't quite on. He went 6 of 16 from the floor, 3 of 9 from downtown. You get that on the big jobs, though, sometimes, don't you? Paddy Thrills, Paddy Mills, in that big win over the Orlando Magic. Man, didn't have to get out there for too long, Paddy. He had 15 minutes of game time, went 2 of 2 from downtown for his 6 points, went 2 of 3 overall, 3 rebounds, 1 assist, and 1 steal, and 1 turn. He was a plus 27. Led that bench mob that absolutely destroyed the Magic. So great job, Paddy. Love to see it. Josh Greeny Green actually got out there against the Sixers because it was a bit of a blowout. 4 minutes, 2 points, went 1 of 2 from the floor, 2 rebounds and 1 turnover. And of course, Will the Thrill Magne was cut by the Pelicans. Bunch of bloody bastards. Killing me. Anyway, I like it. It's like, oh, well, look, we've got a pretty big man, pretty deep big man rotation anyway, so we might bring in another wing. It's like, yes. But Will the Thrill Magnate might be the best one you've got. Anyway, let's do a Shane Hill shoot a shoot, shoot your shot, light him up award.
He threw it down. Are you healed? Are you healed?
Praise the Lord, I'm healed.
Praise the Lord, for I'm healed. It is the Shane Hill
shoot a shoot,
shoot your shot, light him up award. Ah, oh, this is an easy one, right? I mean, Steph. I also love some of the stats they're throwing out during this 53-point barrage, right? It's the games with 10-plus threes in NBA history. Zachy Cakes Adam Levine's got 2. James Harden's got 3. So is Dame, and so does J.R. Smith, which is awesome. Klay Thompson's got 5. And then there's Steph Curry with 18. 18! He's 13 above the next bloke. That is absolutely bananas. So today he drops 53 points. He goes 14 of 24 from the floor, 10 of 18 from downtown. Basically, also joined a pretty select crew of dudes who have multiple years with 3 games with 50 plus point games in them. Three games where they've had more than 50 in a season. They've done that 3 at least times or something like that. Multiple years. There we go. Jesus Christ, Jimmy. MJ, Kobe, Harden, and Steph. That's all I'm trying to say. They're the ones who have multiple years with multiple 50-plus point games. MJ, Kobe, Harden, and Steph. It's a pretty good crew. Just saying. So the Shane Hill shoot a shoot, shoot your shot, light him up award with Steph. He lit up the Nuggets like they're a bloody Christmas tree. Right, Patty Mills, Game Day Baller, Game Day Twitter check-in. Loving this in the moment. There's been lots going on the Twitter world. Just out there. Love to see old mate Paddy Thrills, Paddy Mills, talk about Cam Smith the other day at the Masters. Pretty funny. But Jingling Joe Ingles,
still out there, crushing it, doing great, and still auctioning off stuff. He's got the Q&A. You can be a guest on the Ingles Insight podcast, a Lifetime Big Stuff Deluxe Swing Sweat. There's lots of stuff going on. Go check it out. On Jingles is actual, like, you know, Twitter. He's out there tweeting out because all this charity stuff is going to go to autism awareness, which is awesome. And Jingles is doing great. He also retweeted a post from his wife, Renee, saying, "Have you got your chip cookies co yet? In honor of Autism Awareness Month, a portion of each purchase will fund community programs in Salt Lake City for individuals with autism. It's also available at all chip locations for pickup, delivery, and nationwide shipping." And then a picture of their two kids looking cute as hell. That's awesome. Great job, Joe. Great job, Renee. You love to see it. Great cause. Go check it out. Right, let's do some game previews for tomorrow.
Game previews. Game previews.
Oh, thanks inadvertent, mate.
Not a problem, Jimmy. How's it all going?
Oh, yeah, not bad. Bit of a poo and spew explosion from the squid again last night. Jesus. Don't know what's going on when you wake up. You're like, what has happened here? Right, today's picks. We went out of the eight. We had 1, 2, 3... 4, 5. 5 out of 8. That's pretty bloody good. That's not bad at all, in fact. So that leaves us at 476 of 863 on the year. That's good stuff. Love it. Right, 6 games tomorrow. So let's have a look at these odds. Do a bit of a pick and preview. See if we go 5. What was it? 5 or 6? 5 of 8. So let's try to go, I don't know, 5 or 6 tomorrow. What do you reckon? Can we do that? Well, Jimmy, it's up to you. So, we have the Clippers at Indy, which is a fascinating game. I think the Clippers are 2-point favorites in Indy. Indy have done their usual sort of Jekyll and Hyde sort of switch. They've been good the last couple of games. The Clippers have been absolutely on fire. And this is the Paul George revenge game. So, you know that it's going to go hard. Give me the Clippers -2 here. I like that one a lot. They just have too many wing dudes in Indy. I just don't know if they can keep up with them. You know, the Souvlaki King might tower Sabonis and Kobe, but I think the Clips will have too much. The Hawks, they go to Toronto, and the Hawks are 3.5-point underdogs against the Raptors, which is weird because the Raptors have been very up and down of late. The Hawks, looks like they've sort of turned a little bit of a corner. I'm going to say the Hawks here, +3.5. If Trey's playing, if there's no Trey, I'd probably go the Raptors. So, look, that's a call that I'll have to keep an eye on, and I'll make a note. +3.5 for Atlanta if there's Trey. If no Trey, take Toronto. But Atlanta have been good. We all know that. They've been lighting it up. Toronto have been up and down, just a little bit discombobulated. So I'll take Atlanta +3.5. See how we go. OKC at Utah. This is a tough one. Utah are 17.5-point favorites against the Oklahoma City Thunder. You might be thinking, wow, Jimmy, that's a lot of points. And you like might also turn around and go, yes, because OKC are very bad. 17.5 is probably just still too many points. Like, OKC have, like, no one playing for them at the moment, but Utah are on a back-to-back. Donnie Mitchell will probably sit this one out. The Utah Jazz will probably still win this one, but it'll probably be by 15. So we're getting 2.5 points there anyway. So I'll take OKC +17.5. Go on, Thunder. Cover. That'll be funny. Lakers at Charlotte. The Hornets are 1-point favorites against the Lakers who are on a back-to-back. I might take the Hornets here. There's a lot going on in Hornets world. No Hayward, no LaMelo, but they're playing with a bit of fire. You'd love to see it. They've still got Devontae. They've still got Rose. They're still playing hard. I'm going to take the Hornets. They're a better team than the Lakers at the moment. Miami at Phoenix. Woo! Love to see this one. The Suns on a back-to-back 3.5-point underdogs at home against, or no, favorites rather, against Miami. Miami, look, big road trip. 3.5 points going to a Phoenix Suns team on a back-to-back. I'm going to take the old Heaters here. They didn't do... Look, they beat the shit out of Portland the other day. Don't see why they can't do the same against Phoenix, so go Heat. +3.5. And then finally, an absolute belter of a game. Boston-Portland. Dame versus Jason Tatum. 1.5-point favorites for the Portland Trailblazers at home. I'm going to take the Blazers. I think they've just got enough bodies to cover Brown and Tatum. They've got all those wings now. Let's go Portland. Let's see Norm. Let's see if Boston's defense can catch up. But on the road, it's a big road trip. So, right, that's it. There you go. Dunskies for today. 6 games tomorrow. Wrap all those up. Go check out Play Up Australia. That's playup.com.au/NBA Australia for all your betting needs. Join up. Get around their NBA specials. They're the best. Always have the best NBA odds in Australia. So, Right, we'll wrap all those up for you tomorrow. See how we go with the picks. That'd be fun. Make sure you're following NBA Australia on Twitter, Facebook, IG. We're all over the socials. Go check out the weare.co NBA Australia raffle. I love it, weare.co. Having lots of fun doing this raffle. It's been awesome. Check out NBAAustralia.com/shop. Buy some merch. Go check out World Wrestling Australia with our man in Amsterdam, or still Australia, Adam. Doing the amazing World Wrestling Australia. WrestleMania was on this week, so basically it's huge. He's going to be talking, well, basically it's every Sunday World Wrestling Australia. He's going to talk about all the other winners and losers from an epic, epic WrestleMania. So go check out World Wrestling Australia on YouTube. It's the best. Way to go, Adam. Chuck us a follow, a rating and review, whatever. Whatever the buttons you have to press on your app that you listen to NBA Australia, make sure you're following, liking, all that sort of rating, reviewing. Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, iHeart, Radio, whatever you use. Just do that, would you? TheDailyLiquor.com. If you're going to buy some beer, some wine, some cocktails, go there. Use the code STRAY. Get a free six-pack from your mate Jimmy. Check out Knowable.fyi. Get 20% off when you use the code STRAY as well and get smart. Big thanks to From Oslo for the intro and outro song. Go check out their new band, House Hats. Their album Running Out of Time is out now and it's the best. Also, big thanks to Joshua De La Rangers, Fascinator, Goldmines, Ramshackle Army, iOS, Extradite, Green, and Dozers. All the tunes you heard throughout the show, give them all a smash on Bandcamp, Triple Down Earth, and Face. And remember, NBA Australia supports Australian bands. Check them out on Spotify, Apple Music, all that good stuff. And we'll close out today's show with a brand new Jingles HR, and we will catch you tomorrow, you dickheads. This is NBA Australia saying, look after yourselves, would ya? And Lederhosen! G'day, Joe Ingles here, head of Jingles HR, the world's leading HR solutions firm. Because yep, when I'm not sinking threes, blowing kisses, enjoying my real estate in Paul George's head, or running one of the great charities, I'm out here also as the world's leading HR expert. I'm out here helping you with your HR questions and problems. So, let's get to this week's question, shall we? It comes from a Will in New Orleans. Oh geez, I might know this bloke. G'day Joey, I live overseas and was working for a company that I loved in a place that I loved with people that I loved, and they just fired me. In this economy, in this environment, buggers, what should I do? Should I stay in the USA and try to find work at another company here, or head home and go back to my old job, which is apparently still waiting for me? Cheers, big ears, Will. New Orleans. Oh, geez. I think I know who this one is. Oh, thanks for writing in, Will. Yeah, look, I love hearing from fellow expats, don't I? Look, so, this is a tough one for a HR manager, though, isn't it? Because, like, we never want to tell you when to move home or anything, or if you, you know, want to leave where you might be. And our quick fire response usually would be to mitigate all your employment costs and find another job as soon as possible, as close to you as soon as possible. No faffing about. Because, I mean, it's the same position I found myself in after losing my job in LA. And I didn't know what to do either. Jump on the old dog and bone to Renee. Go home. Go to Europe. Go punch out Doc Rivers. You know, all the usual stuff. So, to be honest, I feel for you here, Will. Because I've been there. And in the end, all I can really tell you what to do is just do what feels right. I stuck around. And luckily I did, because I landed in Utah and she was all right. See, we don't often use our hearts in HR. But this is one of those rare times that only you can make that decision, and there's no decision tree that can really help beyond, is this what feels right? If there's a gig here that you can get and you're keen on it, by all means, smash those KPIs and get on it right now. If not, and if you're happy to go home or somewhere else, have at it, mate. Do what feels best to you. Because as we say here at Jingles HR, home is where your heart is. I mean, it's also where you get paid a lot. So actually, if you do get paid a lot, it doesn't really matter where you are. That's your home, I guess. Ah, insightful. Righto. So there you go. Hope that helps you out there, Will. Best of luck to you. And that's all we've got time for this week on Jingles HR. I've been Joe Ingles. Get a job up, ya. Yeah.